Blog Talk Radio.
And the blood will dry underneath my nails, and the wind will rise up to fill my sails. You can doubt and you can hate, but I know no matter what it takes, I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my
feet up, dance with me.
think it's time to talk. Hi, this is Jerry. Welcome to Retrocentric Church, where Jesus is our pastor, and someday someone will call in. No, actually, today someday will call in. This has been a very interesting day. I know at least five different people who had some kind of personal crisis or other. And last night, I did not have a personal crisis, but the Lord told me to stay up all night, and he wanted to have a private conversation with me. So God is moving. God is, lots of things are happening. We can see it in the world. And in a lot of people's lives, there's things when things change, sometimes we feel it in not the most pleasant ways, but it's all for God's good. He's in control, and we know that he is going to lead us and not let go of us, not one sheep. So when we follow him, we know he will guide us, and sometimes it's a little bit of a bumpy ride. In fact, I forget who it was now. Was it somebody had a dream about it being a little bit of a bumpy ride? But Jesus is coming in the rapture today, and we will live in that. I have one caller. Hello, 818.
Hey, how's it going, Jerry?
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Really good. How are you, Kate?
Better. I went to the store today. My body's telling me no, but I'm doing it very slowly, but because I want to stand in faith. You know, I told God healthy people can go to the CVS store. So I'm going to walk to it, and that'll be it. So my body will just have to accept it, you know. And that's what I'm doing in faith. I got my oil change yesterday, and I'm just doing it, you know. Just doing it in faith, because that's the only way you show God faith, by walking it out, you know.
Yep. One way or another, he wants us to stretch ourselves out. Sometimes it's physically, sometimes it's emotionally, sometimes it's just mentally wrapping or sending our concept of what he is in his direction. And so that's what the walk in faith is. And you do it physically, and I think other people being called to do it in other ways. And
you're right.
And I know, it's growth means change. Change is not always easy, but if we're walking in his direction, it's a good place to go.
I think you're right.
So,
Excellent point. Yeah, everybody's showing faith in different ways. Excellent point. Yeah, you're right, emotionally or whatever. Who else we got online?
Well, we've got, I think Judy just called in. I'm not sure. She may have something
going
on.
Did you block
her?
Is that her on?
No.
Oh, wrong key.
We love you. Love you, Judy.
I love you, too. I love me, too.
Yeah.
I want to talk about something really exciting. Jason 302, can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes.
Is this an okay time to share?
Yeah, this is a great time. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, awesome. So Jason Hensley from, Late Night Chat, Jason 302, he had a really neat experience with the Lord. He was brushing his teeth. And he told it to me in late night chat, and I asked him to write it out so I could tell everybody, because he can't call in ever. But here's what happened. He was really excited. Okay, so here it goes. Hey, Judy, here's the word I received from the Lord early Wednesday morning while brushing my teeth. Can you hear me okay, Jerry?
Yeah, you're doing it's good now. It's good now.
All right, it kind of cuts out. Just say uh-huh every now and then. He said, I'm excited because I've asked my father to speak to me in whatever way he chooses and whatever he would like to say. And I've had two very specific words from him concerning the translation and rapture over the past 2 weeks. Most of the time, he speaks to me while I'm engaged in some activity that does not require much thought. like driving, mowing the lawn, doing dishes, in the shower, brushing my teeth, etc. And he sometimes speaks to me while I'm just still before him. I don't take these words lightly, and I consider it an honor and a privilege that he has answered my prayers by giving me something so specific regarding the translation / rapture. You guys ready for it now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. We're here.
Okay. All right. So he says, while brushing my teeth, I was not thinking about anything, and all of a sudden, Matthew 24:37-39 came into my mind. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I said, yes, Lord. We've been over this scripture many times, and it will be business as usual when you return for the bride. People will not recognize the signs or be looking for your return. But then I thought, why is marriage mentioned? Why not just say people will be eating and drinking, working, engaging in business, living life, etc.? Why marriage? And guess what God told him? This is fun. He said to me, "What? Are you guys ready for this?"
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Jason is so fired up. He's, like, so excited. He said to me, God told him, so when do most people get married? And Jason responded by saying, the summertime, June, July, and August. And God told him, yes. And I understood what he meant. Mm-hmm. So Jason understood what he meant, and then he said, so I did some research to see when most weddings take place. The month of June has been the traditional month. He did a bunch of research. I'm going to read you the research he found. But the long story short is the month of June has been the traditional month for weddings and has also been the month when most weddings occur. However, recently, over the past 3 years, July has become the most popular month. Okay,
really?
So he gave me a whole other email regarding the research on this, which is quite stunning. He really did his work. You can tell God really spoke to him because he was real motivated to do a bunch of research. Anyway, so I can share that email if you want, but I'm going to continue. So what I get from the days of Noah, I know, exciting stuff. So what I get from the days of Noah is this. The whole world was filled with violence during this time. Our world is becoming completely filled with violence, particularly in light of this new terrorist organization, ISIS. And I think we all are keeping up with ISIS. Also, that it will be business as usual. People will not recognize the signs or be looking for his return. And finally, the new revelation that I just mentioned regarding marriage. I really love how the Lord speaks to those people. I'm sorry. I really love how the Lord speaks to those in the RCC and provides words like Katie and Jim, etc. However, with me, he chooses to speak through his word and then provide revelation. That's just fine with me. I just want to hear from him, and I know that I have. His return is imminent. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. ITA, Jason. So Jason's really excited, you guys. He's just, it is just exciting, you guys. So, you know, that's the whole purpose of rapture-centric church here, is Jesus Christ is opening a forum, because in these end times, he's going to be talking to his bride and flirting with his bride, and that's why he's given this forum for people to call in and share what he's saying to you as you're seeking him and longing for his return. He's talking to people. And like Jason said, he does it in a different way with him. He speaks to all of us, you know, in a different way and sometimes more than one. And so just be sure and call in and encourage the body as we see the day approaching. I know people are getting weary and tired, and but he's coming, and it's exciting. So thank you, Jason, if you're listening. I just really appreciate you taking the time to write that out and share with all of us. And
so we've got June or July, right? So now we need to research.
Yes.
Jerry, now you need to research for us and find out when is the most popular day in those months that the weddings occur. So we now we can find the day.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But, you
right.
know, he's
I mean,
got his
the Lord's
going
to want, like, the special day, right? He's going to want the best day, so we got to find the best day that the world, you know, whatever, when the marriages occur.
The best day is today.
Yep, and it's sunny and beautiful, so it's perfect.
I could read what he found in research. It's not really very long. It says, here's what I found regarding what the Lord spoke to me last night. June, as the traditional wedding month, historically June has been the most popular month for weddings. This is where the term June bride comes in. The month of June derives its name from Juno, the Roman goddess of marriage. It was anciently thought that couples who married in June would be blessed with prosperity and happiness. Ancient reasons for June weddings. There were also many logistical reasons for brides to consider June wedding. Brides married in June were likely to give birth to a first child in spring, also thought to bring good luck, and recover in time for the fall harvest. During medieval times, a person's annual bath usually fell in May or June, meaning that the June bride still smelled relatively fresh. Contemporary reasons for getting married in June. However, these reasons aren't very relevant to couples today. Couples today may plan a June wedding because of the nice weather, in-season flowers, and the higher number of outdoor venues available. In June, there is also less likelihood of spring rain or midsummer heat waves. June weddings may be easier for guests to attend since schools and universities are out of session. The summer months are better for most honeymoon destinations as well. Percentage of weddings by month. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, July and August are actually overtaking June as the most popular wedding month. In 2008, there were 216,000 June marriages and 231,000 July marriages. For the third year in a row, July has been the more popular wedding month. So to sum it all up, Jason thinks we're getting married today, and in addition to today, he thinks June and July are very possible high rapture dates. And I believe that sums up his research and his fresh rhema word from God.
Yeah, and it's interesting how when they talked about how it's easier for the guests to attend the wedding, the Lord reminded me guests attending the wedding, right? Like as if people attending the banquet, you know? So it's the whole same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll take it when it comes. It's really great that Jason found those things and was, you can just tell he was moved, you know, and that's what we're looking for. That's what God wants us to do is respond to him. I did not want to stay up all night last night, but that's what he asked me to do.
Mm. You did, Jerry? You stayed up all night?
Yeah, it was after the show.
After RCC or what do you mean?
Yeah.
You playing poker games or what?
No. Actually, I was already a little bit short on sleep, by the way, we have Pat, and then Joe's on the line now, but I don't know.
Joe.
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Joe. Hi,
guys.
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi.
And it was about, I don't know, maybe an hour after the show was over, I'm not sure. And I was just sitting at the dinner table, and my wife and I were looking at something, and we were waiting. We had a minute where we were waiting for something to come up, and I just sort of asked him if he had anything to say. He said, "Yeah, I want you to stay up all night." Like, seriously?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had no idea what it was about. I hadn't thought about it that way. He's never done that to me.
Okay.
That way. And in the end, it was mostly a private fellowship time. It was like my turn for him to hang out, and we hung out. And he did give me a personal word, but he said it wasn't
what
public.
What time did you go to bed? Did you stay up all night?
We were done at 6:30. Yeah.
Wow. That was you and God, or your wife and your wife as well, or just you?
Just me. Just me. And
what did he have? What did he have you? Just praying or reading, or what did he have you doing?
It was. He wanted us to have a conversation, and basically he had things. I didn't know this when he asked me, but in the end it turned out that he had things he wanted to say to me, and he wanted me to have things to say to him. And so that's how it went. And it was very encouraging, it was very good for our RCC here. And
Are you going to tell us what he said?
Yeah.
Well, he said it wasn't public, so I think I shouldn't. But
well, we're not the public.
I can
you
tell
can
you.
Share with us.
Yeah,
we're the family.
We are family, and it was partly about that.
See?
And it was really good, and
he won't know.
Just
say it.
I can. Well, it was good, and we'll
okay.
just
what's
let's
the
just
rapture
say,
date? That's
just,
all we care about. Just give us the rapture date that he gave you. And that's all we care about.
The rapture. You should know by now. The rapture is today.
Okay, but I mean,
right, okay.
What did he tell you? What did he tell you? Give us the date.
Come on, Jerry, we're dying here.
Yeah, come on, Jerry.
He's moving with our group very, very soon. And,
great.
That's not what we want. We didn't want to hear that. We want another date. Anyway, now we're on to you.
I know. He actually did not give me a date, but he used words that were equivalent today, and he also said there were just small steps left.
Tell God you're not staying up all night next time until he gives you a date. That's it.
I'm not staying up all night until you tell
no
me.
No sleepover until you get a date. Right.
I'll see how that goes.
Yeah, right. Sawdust on the floor, you'll be.
But he definitely values his family, and he has plans to take it forward even after some of us leave. So he's working on it, and it was very positive, and he really never told me that it wasn't a public word, but
right. You follow your
heart. I think I really had no idea what to expect, and I just said, well, okay.
But he's like that.
I said, is it because you're taking us out tonight? And he said, no guarantees. Okay. And then
he won't give you a direct answer.
Of course, this was last night at the time we were talking about it. But by the time he gave me a word, it was actually this morning. And in my time. And then I said, you really want me to do this? Because I was already tired, short on sleep. And before this all started, and I said, you really want me to do this? And he said, seriously. And then we went from there.
So you're super tired now.
Yeah.
Are you tired now, then?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, I bet you are.
You
and God may call
me.
Not really retired, but he gave me a more of a domestic job at the moment. But it's. Let's put it this way. he worked long and hard to get me where I'm at, and it took me a long time to accept it.
Everybody's different.
Even though I knew he was in it, it was just very, very, it was definitely a growth process. And, because, you know, all these, sometimes he wants us to do things that are not how we can, you know, that aren't part of our self-identity. You can trust me when I say I don't have any inherent skills that involve kids or being around the house. So he definitely put me somewhere where it was going to be him doing whatever was done, because it was not me. Definitely not anything in my background prepared me for it. So, you know, it was really an eye opener. So
now he's going to have a bunch of overnighters all the time. Good luck to that one.
Well, he might, but that's the first time, so we'll see how it goes. I'm not a stranger to overnighters for several reasons, but this was a totally different thing. It was good and, you know, really good. But it was just time. He last night was my time. And I think as the day unfolded, it was clear that what he was doing with me was directly connected with some of the other people that I know. He also made it clear that it was partly about our family here in the RCC, and that he has plans, and he's going to find a way, even after he takes us out, he's going to find a way to move forward. And it's going to be part of his end time revival. He didn't use those words, but I think it's fair to say that. I can also tell you he didn't hold anything back. He was pretty dramatic. Not scary,
he
but
can
dramatic.
Be.
He wasn't scary
he
at all. But it was no. but he was, you know, he wasn't
I'll
holding
you know
himself
that.
Back. Yeah. And he even laughed a little bit, because he's got plans that the enemy doesn't know.
He's hurting.
He's gonna. And so, you know, with all of the challenge, the different people that I know today that face some personal challenges and the things that we're seeing in the world, which is evolving so fast that it's almost obvious that it's got to be planned. Real events don't evolve at the speed that these do, except for instantaneous things. And so, you know, everybody's, I think, very tuned in. I would suggest everybody be vigilant according to how they're led. We're going to see more than one kind of birth happen at once, I would say. We're going to see a birthing of a lot of things at one time.
He told us.
And it's going to be really cool. And then he said,
it'll be scary too.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a strong encouragement, and totally unexpected, and I hope I don't have to do it again tonight. And so we'll see how that goes.
I'll send you some caffeine pills.
Yeah, because I'm not a coffee drinker, by the way.
Yeah,
so.
I am.
Well, you know, most people really are, but I'm just not.
No, it's okay. energy drink.
However, there is one workaround that I'm aware of, and that's chocolate. So, yeah.
That'll work a little.
Yeah, it could be worse. So how was your day, Pat?
Okay, just spending time with him and just very close. He's been very close to me. Just, I don't know, kind of a snuggly mood, you know, not too many words, but just, we don't need words. We just kind of are together and like an old wifey, you know, and just we can read each other's thoughts without reading or saying a word. I mean, it's a beautiful gift and grace. Just, it's like a comfort zone. We're a comfort zone. I try to be a comfort zone for him, you know, as a loving spouse, and that's basically what it is, and it's deep,
yeah.
And it's consoling to him. You know, my daughter, I found out why she had run out of some of her meds, and she was feeling anxious, and she took extra. That's why she was acting like a real dope and staggering around, and finally we got that straightened out, and she called her doctor, and I don't know. I just have to take day by day and just ask the Lord to get me through it, because some days are good and some days aren't. You know,
yeah,
but, yeah. I have a message from, this is from, what is it called? The lady who sent it to me, it's Our Lord Speaking. I've read them before, but this one, it's short, but it's really kind of good. It's like, do not tire of prayer, but children of mine, if I can read it to you.
Read it, Pat.
Yeah, he says, I am the great I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega I am. Hear me. I desire to abide in you. Open your heart. Surrender. Give me permission to work in you. I have so many plans. Jerry, there you go. Accept my divine will for you. Abandon the ways of the world and walk in faith. Enter into battle and keep your wits about you. Pray for discernment. Pray for guidance and for wisdom. Seek my most holy will in all that you do. Please me, live to answer my call. Do not refuse me. I now raise an army of prayer warriors, and I will have victory. Fear not. Walk in faith. Be diligent. Persevere in love. Know the ways of the enemy. Know all his trappings, and prepare to vanquish Satan. Rebuke all form of sin. Uproot sin from your hearts and lives. Let all that you say, think, and do bring me glory. I will reward you for every effort. Trust in me. Pray, my little ones, pray, and let your petitions reach my throne of mercy each day. Do not tire of prayer. Beloved, I count on you. I hope in you. I leave you my kiss of peace. Abide in me. Be holy, my little ones. You are my heirs. Shalom. That's from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's resonating. Gathering his flock, his family,
mm-hmm.
his
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, there's like three or four more, but I don't want to, you know, take up too much time. But they're all basically like that one, you know. They're just short, they're like just paragraphs each, you know, but right to the point.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Maybe I'll read some more later, you know. But they're very good, sure. And it's like he's just pleading for us to be his and love him and believe in him and trust him and walk with him and do for him and give him honor and glory and pray for souls, and this is what it's all about, you know. And he makes no bones about it in these little short paragraphs, you know, that he gives. He's right to the point.
Right.
Yeah, he needs our help. He needs our help. He really does. And as long as he finds
yeah.
that there are souls on earth to help him, we go forward and things will happen, you know. Yeah.
Right.
But he says there's so few that... in one of the messages there, he said there's so few that are really looking. Yeah.
I'll
wait some more later.
Okay, I have a caller here. It's actually 336. So let's see if it's who I'm guessing it might be. Hello, 336.
I'm sorry. You might have to...
hello.
Okay.
Are you checking them out?
Hi, 336.
How you doing?
Hi. Who's this?
Yes, my name is Alameen.
Alameen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing great. Don't let that name trouble you. Don't let it startle you. I'm one of yours. So together we are brothers and sisters. I do want to say that he does have great, wonderful plans for us, marvelous plans. And he's... one of his most greatest plan is to return us back to one another as we are being restored back to him so that we can love each other. Because we can't be restored back to him unless we come to love one another. So despite of one's color, heritage, or culture, let us love one another if we truly, fully want to be returned back unto him. Only by loving each other can we do his will. We can't bypass that love for each other and then set our hearts out to do what he asks us to do or what he wants us to do. Some of the reasons why we have not yet done those things in our life that we know life wants us to do is because of our lack of love for one another. And with that lack of love for one another, you can't help everybody. You can only help those whom you love. And that's the problem and the trouble that I see in the world today, is that we love whom we choose. You see, but I tell you, my brother, and I tell you, my sister, we are of one father. We are of one father. And our father is a creator, a father, a lover of a variety. He loves to see variety. He never intended, and this is, I don't want to hold you long. I'm just passing through.
Go ahead.
Sharing this love with you. It's just that when he created us, he saw in himself the multiplicity and the variation of himself. And by doing so, he made all of us of various colors, various shapes, and various sizes. And it wasn't intended for the sole purpose of us to hate each other based upon our differences or variances based upon our color. It wasn't never intended to be that way. But we've done that thing, you see. But I tell you that when we return back to love each other, regardless of what, and just see the picture for what it is, and the reality of the truth is that he is the creator who created all mankind. Despite of man's belief, of man's religion, he's the creator of us all. And when we can come back to that true, when we can come back to that true reality, as a son of God, brother, you are a son of the Most High God. You have something very grateful to be thankful for and to be proud of, to know that despite of in this earth, he who made you out of his own image. So you have something more worth to hold your head up for, because out of his image you came forth. And what that means is that it is our duty as sons of the Most High God, created in his image, it is our duty, my brother, to remain fast to that which our Father has set aside and set apart. And that is the truth. That is the truth, that we must be defenders of the truth. You see, and that's so good about it. That's think about it, brother. Because see, when we get over this ignorance of our own mind, man, we can bring the truth to everybody. We can bring the truth to everybody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what I say.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I just say, because it kind of hurts my heart to know that as I travel in this earth, it breaks my heart to see that we who call ourselves Christians are, let me say this, my people who are known by my name, who claim to be called by my name, it breaks my heart to see that we have no love for each other. It breaks my heart. You see, like today, for example, as I traveled in the earth and in the world, I saw a great atrocity happening in Africa to brothers and sisters that are Christians. I saw Christians being slaughtered and murdered and killed because they did not want to convert, or they did not want to leave their belief. And then I hear Christians in America or in Australia or in Europe that everything is okay with the body of Christ. But see, it is written unto us that if one part of the body of Christ is fallen, then we are all fallen. If one part of the body of Christ is hurt, then we are all hurting. And if one part of the body of Christ is being persecuted. We all have been persecuted. So how do we ever get to a point and to a place that we say, I'm fine and happy with being a Christian in my homeland, but yet watch my other brothers and sisters that are Christian dying and perishing all over the world?
Right.
So again, I say, my brother, let thy love be true, and thy life will shine. If thy love is true, thy life will shine.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we recognize God as the source of love, and that if we're with him, then we see his kingdom as a kingdom of love, and we're told to seek ye first the kingdom of God and then add all other things. And I think what you've really described well is there's a lot of people who are out there seeking things without putting God first.
Yes, sir. And you know, Peter, one of my greatest beloved, he traveled with Christ. But yet at times, even walking with Christ, he had no sympathy for the people. So you see, we today who go to church and we are part of a system of Christianity, we must come to love each other. That is the truth. If there's nothing else that you could ever preach the power of love. Preach the power of love, because without love, my brother, the body of Christ is hurting. The body of Christ is hurting.
Yep.
It's hurting. And you see, and
yep.
I know that our Father is the source of love. He's the source of love that we go to when we find no love from nobody else.
Right.
But he has bestowed upon us love that we may give to each other when they ain't even looking for it.
Yeah, that's one of the kinds of love that's really important, is when we're able to offer it when it needs to be offered and not always in the situation where it's easy to do.
Yes. Then my people who are called by my name would take office. If you say, how is it going to come a day when the saints will rule the world, or how will it come in a day where the righteous will rule the world, the same way you see the wicked running it, my people will get a conscience and become awakened for the love of all mankind, that they will step into offices and into places that can give them the elevation to elevate the people. See?
Yeah.
Instead of continuously keep voting for the same people that are screwing us over.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. It's you know, basically God is taking his hand off the world, and he's giving these people a chance to try to get what they want. And they're not going to like it when they get it, but in the process they think they're succeeding, and everybody's the worse off for it. But it's part of his plan. But as these things are revealed, those who seek his love are the ones that are going to be redeemed and then try to replicate it. Because if you value it, then you're going to want to do like him as much as we're able. And he will make us able. He will make us able, more able. In fact, in my case, I've been able to do things with people in my immediate family and surroundings that I didn't grow up with skills to do, but he was able to do it through me. And that's what he likes to do, is he likes to work through people, which is exactly what you're talking about. We have to be open to his leading and let him work through us, so that his character, as much as we're able, will show through us.
Yes. And you know one thing that he showed me? He showed me this. He showed me how I had fell in love with my human self. And he showed me how I found myself with care and concern and worry for my human self. And he showed me how falling in love with my human self, it kept me from coming into my divine self. It was until I had to put down my human self that I came into my divinity. And that's where it's at. It's in the divine self, not in the human self. The human self is that thing that's going to pass away and it's going to decay. But the divine self is that self of you, that part of you that would never rot nor see a day of decay. So if we want to truly do this thing, we must be willing to lose our life in order so that we may truly find our life. And the life that we will have to lose and give up is our human life in order so that we may find our divine life. And then we'll come to know that we are truly divine beings and not human beings.
Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, that's what he calls us to do, is step away from our, you know, our physical and even, you know, every aspect of our person is affected by our fallen nature. And he asks us to step away from that. And he does it a step at a time. And it's a part of a separation process where we seek and grow in his spiritual leading. And while we're here on earth, you know, we've got to become led more spiritually, which is read the book of John. I mean, that's what it's all about. And in Romans. And, you know, it's being led by the Spirit is what separates us from our flesh. And then he can work through us so much better.
Yes.
And
amen, brother. That's well, nice put.
Thank you. He will do it, but he needs us. You know, you even, I think, just said about, you know, you take a step towards him. And I think I said that last night and on the show. And, you know, take a step towards him and he'll meet you. And he, you know, the two of you together will walk this path of separation and becoming spiritually led. And you know, Peter called it denying the flesh. But, you know, sometimes when we put things in language, it doesn't always have the meaning that God would have us understand. So we actually have to try before we start to understand the best meaning of those words. And letting the Spirit live and getting ourselves aligned away from the flesh and feeling the separation. And that separation can be painful. You know, we have pride and we have selfish desires. And their selfish desires, I'm not saying that they, you know, in this case, I mean literally they're desires of the self. And those things get in our way. They cause us to trip up. They create confusion until you begin to recognize them. But if you walk for a while, then we can recognize them. And you've made it very, you know, you stated it very nicely, I think.
Yeah. And then when we do that. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I've come to discover that out of all the things in this earth that there could be to desire, out of all the things that are in this earth that one can desire, I've discovered that the greatest thing to be desired is that in the man, that which is in himself. And ain't it kind of odd, though, that when one falls into temptation or one falls into trouble or one step in error and fall out the way, and it's such a mighty thing that one turn within and go into that place of silence and solace. And in that place, he hears the voice of his beloved. I've come to discover in this life that it is something that is in a man that is greatly to be desired. And I tell you, I have no other choice but to say that it is the Christ of the Most High God. That which is in you is greater than that which is in the world. But I've also come to discover today that I have to make this my reality. Instead of it just being words on the paper a scripture, it must become a reality that, hold up for a minute, there is something that is in me. What is that thing that is in me that keeps telling me not to do this, but I do it anyway and I suffer the consequences? And what is this thing that is in me to tell me to do something and I don't do it and I suffer the consequences? There is something in me. And how could it known that if I would have just did what it said, that my outcome would have been great? But I did not listen. Therefore, my outcome was not great. I've come to discover that it is in a man, that one that Jesus went into the garden and talked to. He's the good one. He is the good one.
Yep.
But I've seen, I've seen the great tragedy today in the earth, is that man is, how can I say this? Not the righteous, but I am saying this to all of us, that if we're not careful, it's so easy to get caught up and obey the voice of the evil one. And the only reason being is because it is the voice of our human self, that which has to be denied, that which has to be put down. And I found, and I'm telling you, when I found myself formed and fashioned in the form of a human man, I had to put that thing away. It is a killer. It is a killer. It is a beast. It is a monster. And I tell you that when you put that away of yourself, then you can see why it is that the rest of us is in trouble, because it's something that we all have to put away. So right now, if you can see the trouble that's going on in the world, it's because we haven't put it away. It is ruling over us, and it's ringing, and it's showing itself out, and it's manifesting itself and making its presence known. It is also the same way with the Christ that is in you, that when we truly, fully come committed to it and be truly converted to it, it will shine through us and manifest itself in us and out of us, that it will show out. People will literally see, great miracles, brother. Great miracles.
Yeah.
Great miracles.
I think
it's only because we keep the one that is in us in the prison that it can't do what it needs to do through us. God just can't force his way through us to work through us. So therefore, being that he's in us, we hold him hostage in our body, which has become our own prison. But we have to learn how to let it out. We have to learn how to decrease so that it can increase. And instead of it being a scripture, this got to be our reality. We have to really come to a grips in our life to say that I am determined to see this life become my life. I was telling a brother today that the only way that we can allow life and make life happen for us, if we are determined. Because if we doubt, then it cannot work through us like it ought to. But if we are determined, I'm going to do this, then guess what? You're going to do it.
He'll walk with you.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
Yes.
I think you stated it really well, that we live in a world right now where there are people who are deliberately choosing to not go with God. And we're in a time where he's allowing them to do that. And so that increases the challenge for everybody. But this is all part of a process. But he's still going to let us make choices for him. And as time moves on and things change, we're really going to see the choices and the kinds of choices we have available increase. And I think it's going to be very soon.
Yes,
but,
it is.
The choices are going to be much more clear for people who have had a hard time. And, you know, we're basically born into a dead skin. And, you know, but the Spirit will still speak to us if we're open to it. And then we can grow. And, He'll speak to our hearts. We want our hearts aligned with him. And at the right time, when our hearts are aligned with him, he'll change the rest of us so that we can be with him. And until then, it's a walk and a growth.
Yes.
And I think you described it really well.
Yes. Yes. And it's like this. It's so easy to. It's like this. Before you knew, if you are married and you have a wife or you have a loved one in your life, a significant other, you know, like I know, that in order for you to be where you both are at today, you had to spend time getting to know each other. You had to spend time with each other. You had to sit up under her voice, and she had to sit up under your voice, and you had to hear each other and listen to one another speak to each other. Well, how do we think that our relationship with the Father is just going to go from point A to point B if we're not devoted to wanting to get to know him?
Right.
And this is what I'm saying. I've seen this. And there's nothing wrong with it, trust me, but at the same time it is, because we're talking about growth. And one has the power to grow or stop his growth or just not grow at all. And one has
Amen.
The power to put his growth on pause. So if you want to continue to keep growing everlasting and everlasting, evolve into the all-magnificent one, the great one, it is nothing impossible
yeah.
for he that is. And it is his only intention to allow you to evolve into all that which he is so that you can express all that he is in the earth. And it would be a wonderful, mighty day in the earth when you're in your day expressing your God. You see, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us not to just spend a couple of hours in the Bible. It's going to take more than just us spending a couple of hours at church and then the rest of the day, 24 hours in the day, we are all busy doing something else. What it's going to take, I've come to discover in it itself, what it's going to take, he has prepared a place. And he told us this clearly in his word, that he was going away so that he may prepare a place for us, that wheresoever that he is, also too that we may dwell. And he told us this, but it was not preached to us in this way, in this manner. He
no.
said that I go away so that I may prepare a place for you, so that wherever I am at, so there you too shall be. You also shall be. Well, today, brother, can I ask you this question? Is or is not the Christ in you? And if the Christ is in you, it is a place that is in you that he has prepared for you. You are a king, my brother. I hold nothing back from you. I don't care what nationality, what color, brother to brother in arms.
Right.
You are a king. And I can only say that because I am a king, you see. But you are a king. He said that wherever
Amen.
I am, so shall you be. And if I am in you, then that means that there's a place in you that I have prepared for you, that if you turn within, you may abide with me. Now, that's this thing that we are forgetting to teach each other, and we are forgetting to teach the people, that it's not out there
yeah. right.
that any of this
right.
is going to happen. It's in us, my brother. Teach them to turn within, and they will find the answer they're looking for. Teach them to turn within, and they will find their God. No man God can be found outside of himself. But in order for a man to have a true relationship with his God, he must turn within where his God is at. So I tell you, that will be the day, my brother, you will see the world come together as one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see,
and
if we continue to keep teaching others that keep calling on the God out there somewhere, then guess how many ideas of different gods you're going to get. So if you're going to get those many different ideas, then guess what? You're going to get many different religions, and that's what you have gotten today. But nobody want to
yeah.
talk about the God that is in the man, the Emmanuel.
Yeah, absolutely, Emmanuel, God with us. The evil in the world has corrupted and weakened God's message too, and so we're not very well prepared as a church, especially
yes.
the Christians, to do what you're saying, and so many people choose other people to lead them. Instead of
yes.
the Word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And I think a lot of people in their human condition are afraid to try it. It's a lot easier to go with an authority, like it's a college
yes.
classroom. And but that's what he wants. He wants us to talk to him. That's what he wanted to do after the Exodus in the desert. He wanted to talk to the people directly. And they were afraid. And so
Yes, my brother, I love you for that comment that you've made and the comments that you're making, brother. You're absolutely true, and you're absolutely right, and that's what it is. Can you just imagine a man who would be willing to listen and obey the voice that is in him? He will be an outcast to the people. You see?
Mm-hmm.
He will be a troublemaker to the people. I'm telling you, brother, it's somebody in you that's great. See, the world is telling us to keep waiting, to keep waiting, to keep waiting. My auntie died. My grandma died. My mother died. My dad is almost near to death. I'm going to keep waiting, or will I turn within? You see, it is within I will find my God. You see what I'm saying? But listen to how we're teaching each other. All across the earth I have witnessed. We're teaching people to look for another Christ than the one that is in them. And that is a grave danger. That is why people are committing suicide. That's why you got mass homicides. Because if they truly, 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 truly knew the truth, that the Christ is that one that is in them, watching them, doing all of this and seeing them, because he's in them as they do it at that moment, to them that they wouldn't even do it.
He died to make that possible. That
yes, he did.
The cross.
Yes, he did. But see, just like man fell, we all know that in the dark ages of Christianity, that Christianity also fell. So I think it with all my heart that the only one that can raise us back up is the Christ of the living God. That's the only one I know that can truly raise us back up. You see? And I know a lot of people want to say only Christianity can raise you back up. Well, if that is the case, then why do I look at us today and we're having such a difficult time walking the Christian life? I believe with all my life that it is only life that can, let me live life. Just in Christ is life.
We're all born fallen. You just have to decide to get up, and you get up by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's how you
say that again, brother. Say that again.
We are all born fallen, but we have to decide to get up, and getting up is through Jesus Christ.
That's right, brother. You know what that means? I'm gonna tell you my son's secret. What that means is this right here. That's when it's all over with, said and done. Christ is who you will be when you finally get up. When you finally get up and stand up. It is all you will ever be. Because I'm not talking about literally fall on the ground, concrete. I'm talking about, see, long as we got on all of these lies that we call ourselves and put on, I'm black, I'm white, I'm American, I'm this. We're calling ourselves the name of land, the name of a color, the name of everything. When we truly get up and take off all of these tags and all of this dirt and all of this filth and all of our sins, when we finally do stand up and really get up and walk strong and walk tall, we will be, the last man is Christ. And I'm gonna tell you my son's secret.
Sure.
I'm gonna tell you my son's secret. What it means is that the human man has gone through evolution. And you know that there was once a time when you had the Neanderthals, you had Homo sapiens, yeah. You see, and then you had those who are humans that walked hunchback and hunched over. Then you had the humans that was once on the earth that was fully haired and fully clothed, like, you know, almost kind of looked like an ape or whatever. But see, evolution of mankind continues to evolve on until you get to that last man. And that's going to be your Christ man. That would be the man that not only is he standing up erect, but he's 100% open. He's 100% alive. He's using 100% of his brain. He's using 100% of his heart. He's using 100% of his lungs. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about the live man, the last man was the Christ you know this, you know today scientists say we only use about a certain percent of our brain, and that's in a low number. How come when Jesus came, the last man that man will ever be when he truly evolved and stopped pausing his evolution and stopped pausing his growth, but if he continuously let this thing be a continuation on in his life, that he will grow and be that light? That light is 100% lit, and Christ's brain was 100% lit. He was using 100% of his brain. We only using like a 3%. So I tell you, man, never stop evolving. Don't stop evolving. I love you, brother. And yeah. I know we different yeah. colors and from different cultures. Yeah. But guess what, though, brother? That
we're
don't
in
mean
the same
nothing.
Family.
That don't
we're
mean nothing.
Because
you
want to
know why it don't mean. You want to know why it don't mean nothing? Because I'm a spirit and you a spirit, and if we just happen to be put in a different body. That's all.
Yep.
That's all.
I hear you.
But the reality of it is, I'm a spirit and you a spirit. So guess yep. what that means? Guess what that means?
We're family.
Man, that you great. What it means is that you are something great, brother. That's what it means.
Yeah.
See, you are a spirit, and all I ever know is spirit is God. I'm telling you, brother, you're
yes.
something great, man. You're something great.
Thank you. Yeah, all of us, everyone needs to embrace that. You know, by Him we were created, and He's coming back as King, and He will be the one
yes.
true good King.
Yes.
And He's going to make us right.
Yes.
He's going to make
yes.
us right.
I want to say this to you because I love you. Sometimes we don't know who we're entertaining, what we're entertaining. But as I pass on through and pass on by, I want you to know that I love you. And I know that you're going to grow and you're going to evolve into all that which I am. And if you can hear me, hear me. Don't hear the flesh, hear the spirit. And I'm
Amen.
Telling you, brother, the Christ will be to you a mirror. And as you see His life, you will see your life. And as you see your life, you will see His life. Remember that, my brother.
I hear you. I hear you, brother. I believe it. I believe
yes.
it.
Yes. 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 And what's so wonderful about it is that one name fits all. That's why you're all called by that name, Christ, the first fruits of God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's His work. It's His seed. Amen.
I love Amen. You, my brother.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time. But
no,
sometimes when the spirit wants to lead you somewhere, don't go the other way. Just go where it wants to lead you. And you're going to know that it's guiding you because it will guide you into all the right places. And today, I thank God that He chose to stop here because this was a wonderful place to be.
Amen. We're glad you stopped. You're always welcome.
Yes, sir. I sure appreciate it. I sure appreciate it. My doors are open to you as well, my brother. Yes, they are.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You have a nice day, my brother.
You too. God bless.
God bless.
Awesome. Thank you, Alameen. Tremendous testimony. Okay, guys.
Thank you, Alameen. Awesome.
There you are. Hi, Tana.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Oh. Hey, Tana.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
I love y'all.
Love y'all.
Love you too.
Love Jesus.
And I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I know you're coming today. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe
Amen.
We're just finding an angel.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
How about we have a quick song
mm-hmm.
and just embrace the message.
Okie dokie.
Get a good feeling, yeah.
I get a feeling that-
can't doubt, better leave, I'm running with this plan. Pull me, grab me, grab it in the fucking chain, have me, I'll be the president one day. Damn, every verse, oh, you like that gossip, like you the one drinking what gossip.com. Now I got a word for your tongue, how many Rolling Stones you want? Yeah, I got a brand new spirit, speaking and it's done. Woke up on the side of the bed like I won. Talk like the wind in my chest, that's done. G5 in the U.S. to Taiwan. Now who can say that? I want to play back. Mama knew I was a needle in a haystack. Oh, body boy, plus way back. I got a feeling it's a wrap.
I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
The mountaintops, walk on water, I got power, feel so royal. 1 second, I'ma strike for you, diamond, platinum, no more for you. That adrenaline, never giving in, giving up, not an option, gotta get it in. Witness, I got the heart of 20 men, no fear, go to sleep in the lion's den. That glow, that spark, that crown, you're looking at the king of the jungle now. Stronger than ever, can't hold me down. 100 miles gunning from the pitcher's mouth. Straight gang face, it's gang day. See me running through the crowd full of melee. No trick play, I'm Bill Gates. Take a genius to understand me.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah.
Just let's go from feeling to healing. I just feel like that.
there.
You're welcome, Steve. Thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about some of the Lord was showing me some stuff during that song about what the guy was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's great. Go.
Well, when you usually when people first start talking, my discernment, sometimes it starts to climb, you know, and at the start, it definitely was high alert, then it started coming down as it was scanning the different energies of what was going on and different things, looking into his spirit, and it's interesting what the Lord was sharing with me about that, though. What he was saying was definitely, you know, wonderful. It sounded great on paper as well. The perfect concept of man is to love each other and have peace on earth. You know, man's been trying to have peace on earth for thousands of years while they're busy trying to destroy each other in the meantime, you know. It definitely was slanted more towards the world peace concept, you know. And the Lord Jesus was directly talking to me during that song about that. And the Lord Jesus told me that, you know, it sounds great. It's a wonderful thing. And it's all about bearing fruit. We need to go and help other people, which is what the Lord says, go bear fruit and love God and then love your neighbor. So those are very, very important. In fact, the most important things to God and stuff. But the reality is, what Jesus told me, though, that the reality is that man, and he was pretty frank with me, he said very clearly, he said, it's not possible on earth. And he was very firm about that. He said, it's not possible. Man is not interested in peace. Man will not have peace. And Jesus showed me the solution to the problem. You know what he told me that the solution to the problem is? He said, "His Jesus' solution in his mind to the answer of the way things are going on in the world is to take his people out of the world. That's his answer. Because it's so helpless, you know, because of the fact that man doesn't believe in God and stuff. He told me that's his answer. Instead of trying to come down and, you know, create world peace right now, he wants to pull his people out. And then he said, so what we should be doing, he was telling me, is instead of trying to create world peace, he told me we should be go out getting people into the banquet as fast as possible.
Uh-huh.
Because looking at the world, he just showed me the world. Look at a mess it is. He said, I'm not trying to create world peace right now. I'm trying to get my people that are trying to do that, you know, trying to abide in me, trying to love each other people, trying to walk in my word, to pull them out as fast as possible, and to get them along the way to flag people down and say, you know what, it's time to go. We've got to get out of here. I mean, we don't have much time. Grab your stuff. We're going. Be ready, you know. So that's Jesus' solution to this. Then later, you know, after all then the world can do their shenanigans and try to do their own interpretation of peace while Jesus is removed. Then when he comes back, then he will establish the real peace the way it should be. But the answer right now is it's not about world peace. It's about recruiting people to get them into the banquet. And there's a verse that says, go to the streets, and he's showing it to me right now in my mind. Go to the streets and tell everyone about the banquet. It's like he shows me this verse often in the Bible about the wedding banquet. But, you know, that, I mean, look at the Middle East. Look what's going on lately with that stuff. Like, even yesterday I was reading some crazy stuff going on there. I mean, it's gotten worse than the last day. You know, we're sending in more people, and, you know, it's like all we need is the match. You know, and then everything's going to explode. You know, we've got Fukushima. We had a 6.4 today, and 6.7. It was up to upgrade to 6.7. It was over in some island somewhere. But that's, you know, the world is right now, the world has done everything its own way. It put God aside and did its own way. So Jesus' solution to that is, you know, exit plan. You know, and that's why Revelation 3:10 says that we're told you from the hour of trial, you know. And we're definitely headed right into that hour right now as we speak, you know.
Yeah. I think, though, on a personal level, if we pursue the love, that's, you know, I you're right. In the world, he's got plans and he's taking his hands off. And we see it, you know, we're all, you know, we almost know it before it happens at this point because
True.
We're so aware of it, the
True.
Way things are going. We can anticipate, how other things are going to go because of how he works and what he's shown us and what we know the spiritual condition of the world is. But on a personal level and within our own house,
bear fruit.
Bearing
fruit. Yeah, bearing fruit is, that's what Jesus said. You know, if he's a vine, we're the branch. And then so the vine is watered, it comes out, the branch grows, that's us, and we start bearing fruit. And that's the most powerful, that's why my whole ministry is about that, the most powerful verse in the Bible. You know, you'll recognize them by their fruit. You know, go out,
yes.
A good tree, if a good tree does not bear good fruit, now this is a powerful verse here, if a good tree does not bear good fruit, it will be cast into the lake of fire. So Jesus, at one end, Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you lots of rewards in heaven. Your mansion will go higher for all the fruit you bear. But at the other end, he's saying, if you don't want to bear fruit, you want to be a lazy Christian, then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And it's talking about Christians. It's talking about saved Christians. He does not mess around. Jesus got the love, but he does not mess around about that stuff. And most people in RCC, obviously, are bearing fruit. But he also goes to the other end. He just does not tolerate, advancing their kingdom and not advancing God's kingdom every day. You know, just doesn't tolerate it, you know. Then you look at how small the workforce is. We've got so few of us trying to do so much work.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, you know, it's too much, you know. Yeah. You know. Sometimes the Lord has to say things like that to get people to wake up, you know, because otherwise they're Christian by name, by word, and not by action. You know, I'm always telling people to bear fruit. Bearing fruit does not mean you go up and down and give money to all the homeless people. It can mean that, but it's not the world's way of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is, you know, I've seen pastors, for instance, that have helped. You know, I've seen ministries recently. I was working with this one. I found this one guy's ministry. He's working with thousands of people, right? Has YouTube videos on healing and some really interesting concepts. And then I contact him, and he is just a non-caring, cold jerk, total jerk. And it's like, whoa. And I can't tell you how many thousands of times I've experienced this. And I said, Lord, these aren't the same people that are leaving videos. What happened? Boy, did Jesus, boy, I can tell you, if you saw the fire of God, oh, Lord, just show me some fire. You can help 1,000 people in your ministry, but if one person calls you and knocking on your door and you have no time for them and you just slam that door in their face, the lost one is what Jesus went and looked for, the lost sheep. That's what he's looking at. So it's easy to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to help all these people. But then in your day-to-day life, when someone knocks on your door for help or your friend calls, are you helpful or are you hurtful? You know what I mean? That's the difference.
Right.
Always look at your circle of influence, your friends around you, right around you. That's the most important thing first, you know, making sure you're doing that, you know. Yeah.
Alameen called back. He dropped off. He called back. Alameen, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like to say I love you guys. And you're absolutely right, brother. And I love the way that you express the true image of our Lord and Savior, because that's exactly how he is. He has the two. We so much concerned about, you know, the blessing that he has in one hand, but we're not looking at the two-edged sword that he has in the other hand. You see what I'm saying? And I tell you, it hit me in my spirit. He said that in the day that the star appeared to the three wise men, he said it was because that they was watching for the appearance. And he said that King Herod them didn't even know that it was a star in the sky was that big and bright, because they wasn't watching. And then he showed me something. He took me to the night that he was handed over. He said that, I told my disciples that now that they are in the time now that they must watch and pray. And just like King Herod, them didn't watch the signs, and they missed the coming of the Christ. We also, too, are in the signs, brother, that right before our eyes, This great one, this holy one, the great one of God, the great one of life, is about to appear. It's about to appear. And see, the reality of this thing is that we Christians, or whoever call ourselves following him, we must get in line with him. We must turn within to him. he that is in you is, by all means and by all far, greater than anyone that is in the world. See, the Lord that we so much conversate and that we're talking about right now and all the things that he would ever want to do for any one of us, he is the great one that is in you. He is the great one that is in you. And it's something about our human mind being in our human condition that we put a limitation on how much of God is in us. It's in our limitation of our own mind. But God don't put half of himself in a man. He don't put part of himself in us. He put all of himself in us. All of him in us. His precious blood he gave us all. All of his blood he put in us. All of his life he put in us. Not a portion of it, not a second of it, not a glimpse of it, but all of it. All of his life. But it's something about our human condition and our human mind. It's something about being a man that is no taller than 7 foot or 6 foot tall, that he can't see the great one that stands within himself because of the limitation of his mind. This great God that has been in you is the great God that has kept you from danger, has kept you from death when you know you was facing down the barrel of death, staring in his eyes. It kept you from being lost in the bondage in your own sin when you know that your own sin had you once held captive, but it was he that was in you that set you free. See, the all-magnificent one, the all-great one is in you. And this is the thing. See, he's so great in you that he not only occupies your vessel, he occupies all that there is. But you can't limit yourself to that degree of how much he is not. I ask you this question. If he that is in you is not greater than he that is in the world, then who are you looking for to come that is going to save you? Who would be greater than he that is in you? I think that when the man turned within, my brother, the answer, the key that all the ancients, the key that all our ancestors, the key that they unlocked, was the hidden message, was the hidden truth that he that created you is in you, and he's in the earth, in the man, to have a relationship with the man, in the man. And when the man get caught up and lifted up and carried away in that which is in himself, he will be as Enoch was, who got caught up in God and walked off the earth. I don't know what religion has been teaching man. But I know one thing, though, my brothers, is that you cannot fail to fall in love with he that is in you that is greater than you. All the way to the end, to the day you die, he's going to be in you. So spend your time with him. Learn to love him. Sometimes be up all night with him. Sometimes get off the phone with everybody else and just enjoy that which is in you, because only by doing so, if you lift that up in you, if you lift him up in you, if you lift that up which is in you, you would never be depressed. You would never be oppressed. You would never be stressed. I'm telling you, he that is in you is greater than he we've been taught to look for to come. He's in us. And then I heard a man say, I heard a man tell me one day, he said, yeah, I know he in you, but he also coming out there. But the very one that is in me, he wrote it in his word, did he or did he not? That if any man come to you and tell you that I am out there or over yonder, do not go. Know that I am in you. Why did he say that? Then man come and want to change what he say and have us all out there somewhere looking for him to come. We have done a grave thing wrong. We just have to come to accept the fact that we did. Get over it. Come to the truth and now turn man within. See, we must accept the fact that we've done a grave thing, a grave error in his eyes. And we turned man to everything that was out there instead of to everything that was in there. But now let us return man back to God. This is what the sons of God are for in these days, that we may return the sons back to the Father. You see, I'm telling you, brother, when he was sent into the earth in his own body, every component and every composite that made him who he was is the very components and the very composite that make you who you are today.
Amen.
When you're learning about him, you're learning about you. It said, what is a man to gain the whole world but yet lose his soul? And what is it for a man to gain everything and yet have no knowledge of his soul? So I tell you, my brother, I tell you, it's a spirit, man. When can we not get over this human thing? This human thing has us, it limits our consciousness from becoming aware of such a truth that it wants to try to put a physical being to that which is spirit, and by doing so, it limits the spirit from being all that it can be. See, this thing that we're trying to see return back to us is a spirit. It's a spirit. It is a spirit, and it's happening. It is happening. It's happening, and I'm talking about it's happening so fast that you can see that evil in itself is spinning out of control. It don't know which way to go. It don't know how to go. It don't know where about. But what you're in today, see, it's written. He said, watch and pray. And what it means to watch is that the prophets, they had to watch in order to be able to prophesy certain things. So not to hold you long, but what I'm saying is this right here, is that we supposed to have been looking at these signs. If we call ourselves followers of Christ, first of all, we supposed to have been doing what he said. He said that we have the power to heal demons, remove demons. We have the power to heal the sick. But we're watching our loved ones die right in front of our eyes like it ain't nothing. Cancer, AIDS, diseases, right in front of our eyes. Where is this power? And the reason why this power is not functioning and operating in us as it ought to operate and function in us is because there is still a doubt whether or not we're truly sons of God, like Jesus Christ was the Son of God. See, when you come to know who you really are and to know that your only Father is God and he is the reason why he gave you parents so that you can have a body and put your spirit in it, but when you come to know that the Father of all spirits is God, then you too would know, as Jesus knew, that he was the Son of God. Because when it's all over with, said and done, the only one that I'm going to face and stand back in front of is my Father that is God. So when it becomes our reality, I'm telling you, this thing would not creep up on us. It's creeping up on a lot of us, too. And if, as you can see in religion today, even some of the most elite have become fooled. They have become fooled, thinking that it's a great thing in front of the sight of God to marry two men. I'm not speaking wrong. I'm just saying, where do we go wrong? Thinking that what we do is acceptable in front of God. But this is what I'm saying. He, the great one, the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel, he who led us out of captivity, he that led us out of Egypt, He is greater than he that is in the world. It is he that is in you, my brother. Listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How many times have something in you told you to do something and you didn't do it and you said, dang, something told me to do that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, brother, I didn't tell myself that, and I had to come to face that truth. And then one day I went after chasing it. I went after chasing that thing one day in my life. And I said, I want to know you. Who are you? Who are you? Because all my friends, they give their advice, opinions, and ideas. My colleagues, my associates, my managers, agents, they do what they do. They do what they can. You see what I'm saying? But I want to know, who are you? That when ain't nobody else around, you come to me and giving me the wisdom and knowledge and instructions that goes far beyond man. Who are you? And one thing that I come to testify in this earth before I go and before I leave this place, it is one that is in you that is greater than he that is in the world. He revealed himself unto Paul, and he appeared to Paul. And as he appeared to Paul and revealed himself to you, to Paul, he should also reveal himself to you. If that is not the truth, then how will I be able to see he that is in me, if I'm not prepared to see him that is in me? We must prepare each other to turn each other's heart within. You see, because only in the pure heart can any one of us see him anyhow. Only the pure in heart shall see me when I come. Who told people that everybody just going to see him when he come? Only the pure in heart. And then he revealed himself. You see?
And yeah, he reveals himself to us every day through everything if you're watching. You have to, if you're watching for him and looking for him, he reveals himself through everything, through the wind, through the trees, through the TV, through whatever he wants. He'll speak to you through any means that you're looking for him. He's in everything.
Yes, sir.
He's got
to be
looking.
Yes, sir, my brother. But one day, you're going to quiet the mind one day. You're going to close your eyes one day. And in that silence and in that stillness one day, you're going to hear a voice one day. And that voice, when you hear it one day, you will see the face that stands behind it. It will appear to you one day. And I'm telling you, my beloved, when you see him, you have seen it all.
You know, what you're saying is we've been adopted into the family of God, and we have to start acting like we're members of the family.
Yes. Yes. And I come to find out what it means to be pure in heart. To be pure in heart means to obey him. Just obey him. Mm-hmm. And you'll be pure.
Yeah. That's a great message, Alameen. I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much.
Yes, sir. I love you all. I love you all.
Thank you.
Love you,
sir. You know, love and family and the power of our family are really what it's all about. It's where we live from if we're living in him. He is love, but, you know, we have to take our position in the family and work in the family, the power of the family.
Amen.
So let's have another song.
Moment that you
Pat, did you have something else you wanted to read?
I was just thinking of something in here now. I just felt inspired to say it, what Jesus told us to do. He said, ask me to live within you, to reign and rule in you as I reign and rule in heaven, that is my one burning desire, Jesus, that you fulfill yourself in me. So I thought that was kind of something that we could just all concentrate on, you know, with what our brother was speaking about, that it's so important that we pray that Jesus just possess us completely and we possess him, and then we'll make it. You know, if we say that sincerely, you know, be in us and let us be in you, and really mean that. Let me read just a few words here. He says, when you are at my feet praying or meditating, why not be one in spirit with all the pure in heart who are praying and meditating? You are a little church all by yourself. You are part of the great activity of Christ in the breath of the Spirit. And in isolating yourself, you would break the chain. So be linked together with other fervent people and aware of my desire for you all to be one. You remember my seamless robe? Become humble enough to lose yourself in everyone else and eager enough for merits to seek to benefit by the merits of your brothers, since I permit this. I am the Father who has found a way to help his children get rich quickly, and having explained this to them, I wait for them to profit by it, for I suffer more than they do from their poverty. My little girl, you don't see how poor you are. If your eyes were open, how careful you would be to cover your dress with someone else's garment in order to be pleasing in my sight. Do you want to think more often of this daily union with all my Christians in the world at this moment? The suffering ones, the persecuted, the abandoned, those in exile and in prison, those who are martyred for my name's sake, the souls in ruined bodies who continue to bless me, to serve me, and to call me with all their love, right to their last breath. Unite with them so that you may not lose. You will lose nothing. So he says, unite with them so that you may lose nothing of all this. Try to grasp the fact that these new treasures bring you ever nearer to me. This is your goal, to reach me. And I am so eager to have you that I stoop down, stretching out my two hands to you. Don't turn away. It's the proud who refuse a free gift. How I long for you to do me the favor of accepting my help. I'll be even tempted to say thank you. I'm sorry.
Oh. I love it, Pat. I love it. Let's not forget to stretch our arms out to him.
Yes. And to console him.
Else.
Yes.
Yeah.
He says, don't turn away. Yeah. Don't turn away. Yeah. It's the proud who refuse a free gift. How I long for you to do me the favor of accepting my help. I'll be even tempted to say thank you. How sweet he is. How there he is for us. How accessible. You know, how condescending, for all he's the greatest. He has the greatest weight of honor and glory because he has suffered and loved the most. And yet, he condescends to our nothingness, our littleness, our condition. He's so willing to just be there for us. And being that he's human like us, that even makes it super special. You know, his wanting to be with us. His delight is to be amongst the children of men, period. You know. And the enemy of our salvation had a real problem with that. He couldn't understand that, why he would become man and lower himself, so to speak, and that the enemy would have to serve mankind. He couldn't take that. It drove him crazy and drove him away with one-third of heaven with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't understand why Jesus would do that. Couldn't understand. Totally threw him. Pride. Pride is what took him, and that's, he'll try to get us through pride too, the enemy. He will. And wave divine love. He says, if I want a soul to fall, all I have to do is entice them to pride. That's how I fell, and I will not rest until the whole world is full of pride, because that's how I defeat, you know, Christ. I make people be proud. So that's his key one thing to use, his bag of tricks. Yeah, pride.
Well,
right.
Yeah,
I can do it on my own. I don't need God. What a deceived world we live in.
We've
so
got
deceived.
To learn to put the God in us ahead of the self in us.
Yes, definitely. Or you ain't gonna make it.
Yeah.
Period.
we're going to have a few minutes left, but I'm going to play one more song in celebration of that day.
Yeah.
To give everybody a chance who's still on the line to say something. Tana, I'm not even sure we heard your voice yet. Are you there?
Hello, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi, honey.
Hi.
sweetie.
Well, I just love you. Bottom line, it's love. It's all about love. Love each other, no matter what. We all may have our different opinions, but love each other just like Jesus loved us.
Right.
Bottom line, I love you all. I love you, chat. I miss you. I had to ride with my roommate to work, and so I'm not work. I don't start work till like 6:15, so I'm just chilling. But I'm not by chat anymore. So, but yeah, I love you all. I love everyone listening.
Love you too, sweetie.
And I love you all on the line. And I love you, Jesus, of course, my Lord and Savior, my provider. Yeah. I love you, Father God. I love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything. That's all I need to say. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let me see if Joe, are you near your phone? Are you speaking today or are you working? I think you may be working or recuperating or something. Okay, I think we have. Is this Chris? 818?
Hey, Chris.
Pat, did you have anything else? Then I want to go back.
Everything we think, say, and do, let it give glory to God. And like Tana said, you know, just love and have a sincere, loving relationship with the Lord. Be so sincere with Him. Whether you understand everything or not, just talk to Him sincerely, and He'll guide the ship. So, you know, don't be afraid. Just trust Him, and with great sincerity and sweetness of spirit, like a child with Him. And he'll take care of it. He'll guide you. I can't stress that enough. Just trust him.
Yeah.
It's a love.
Cool. Yep. Amen. Wow. Alameen? He may be muted. Did you have anything else?
Oh, no. Let somebody else.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I just wanted to say. Yes, I just wanted to say I love you all and. And we're absolutely right, and that's the thing, that we all are it's light in the world. And I believe with all my heart that as we allow Him to continue to guide us, that we too will become His first fruits. And I say, remember these two names of our Lord and Savior, most precious and beloved. Remember these two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. Jesus, because He would save them from their sins, and Emmanuel, because He would dwell in them.
Yes.
When we understand that mystery, I tell you, our life will never be the same. It would never be the same. You don't have to worry about going into the grave to meet Him. You'll be going to the grave with them already on your way.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, you know, wonderful show. Thank you for calling, Alameen. Please call back again. We love you, and thank you. And everyone else. And, you know, let's just really dwell in the love, and as He says, God in us, and let us grow accordingly. We have a tradition here where in the last minute of the show, we just ask the bride, or the groomsman, to return. So we just ask the Lord Jesus to come. So let us say, come, Lord Jesus, and thank you all for your participation today.
Come Lord Jesus. Come, fetch us. It's
Jesus.
Time.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Thank you for being here.
Hang in there. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Hang in there.
Amen.
Just love.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Love y'all. Love everybody.
He's here.
And he's coming to take us. His presence is in each one of us. And we minister to each other in Him and through Him and for Him.
Thank you, Father.
Today is the day He has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes, thank you. Very good.
Today.
Yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad.